Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavati Tamas Tuma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so now we're back, chapter 7. And in the crescent formation of the Pandava side, then Bhima is on the one tip. Arjuna is making so much havoc on one side. Now we see Bhima and Gatotkacha on the other side. So then, so they're doing all kinds of things here. Right? So then, now Duryodhana. Clenching his teeth in fury, Duryodhana challenged Bhima. The Pandava at once fired an iron arrow at him, struck on the chest. Duryodhana collapsed on the floor of his chariot. His charioteer quickly carried him away, and all the troops supporting him broke and fled. As Bhima, Gatotkacha, Yudhishthira, and the twins fought together, Abhimanyu joined them. At the same time, Arjuna continued his attack on the kings surrounding him. Thus, the Pandava warriors assailed the Kauravas like a tempest tearing into a forest. Although both Bhishma and Drona tried to rally their fleeing forces, they were unsuccessful, right? Because everyone's doing so. Arjuna from one side, the forces are fleeing. Bhima from the other side, they're fleeing. And then at the middle, like that, then also they're having that problem. So then that Drona and Bhishma, because they're the leaders, they're the eyes, so they give the directions. You know, it's just like that. The eyes give the directions. The heart, that's the king. But in here, in the fighting, then in, you know, coming around and coming in, then seeing his opportunity, Duryodhana went and attacked Bhima, but it didn't work out so good. Duryodhana turned to his senses and again stood in his chariot. Seeing the commotion, he called out to his panic-stricken soldiers, "Where will you go, foolish men, leaving behind your fame? Do not act like eunuchs. The fight has hardly begun. While I am still standing, and while Bhishma and Drona are leaders, how will we not gain victory? Turn back and fight." Right. Means, you know, he's in this context, what he's saying and everything is very appropriate for the Kshatriya and all that. So here he's not insulting somebody to try to get them to fight. He's not doing, I mean, you could call it, he's saying eunuchs, but that's because the Kshatriyas, you know, they're not eunuchs. They fight because eunuch gets the idea that they can't fight, so they're not so strong. You know, like a bullock won't be as strong as a bull, like that. And so that's the context here. And so, but here he's just talking to make everything work, because it's not like everything's going okay and so he can afford to be political. Here he just has to see that the troops are rallied, otherwise that, you know, things won't be a problem. The warriors stopped, shamed. Desiring to exhibit their prowess, they turned back towards the Pandavas. Rallied, the huge Kaurava army resembled the sea surging at the full moon's tide. As they again rushed towards the foe, Duryodhana rode over to Bhishma. "O grandfather, O descendant of Bharata, please hear my words." Bhishma lowered his bow and looked across at the agitated prince. It was obvious that Duryodhana was angry and trying to control the harshness in his voice. "O scion of the Kuru race, I do not consider the Pandavas to be a match for you." No, he's saying it as if it's a praise, but he's actually making a criticism, right? "When you are fighting, backed by Drona, Kripa, Ashwatthama, and so many other Maharatas, how is it possible that my troops are flying from the battle?" Right, so now he's saying it's all Bhishma's fault. It's also a way to rally Bhishma, but you see, to the others, to the men, where he knows he has that sense of superiorness, then he's just as a Kshatriya leader would, he you know, rallies the troops and inspires, you know, strength in them. So that he's done very well. But you see, as soon as he turns to those who are actually senior to them, then he doesn't behave nicely, you know. "Surely you are favoring the Pandavas, right?" If it's like if things are going well, see how great we are. Things don't go well, it's someone else's fault. Whose fault is it? It's not my fault. So that's the thing. You're dealing with a demoniac mentality. It's not stable. It's not steady. It can't actually have a depth of relationship in that. They'll have their so-called relationships and community, but it's not actually very deep. You know, he's put it that they're so powerful. He's decided, but at the same time, he's decided the Pandavas aren't powerful at all. So in his thing, you know, then it's your fault because they're so weak and you're so strong. You must be favoring them. You know, you're shooting flowers at them or something, you know, like that. And every arrow they shoot always misses. It doesn't go in the right direction. You know, it's like that. They're useless and you're done like that. Therefore, you forgive them for this slaughter of our men. O hero, you should have told me before the battle began that you would not fight the Pandavas. I could then have consulted with Karna and decided what to do. Right? You know, but the point is, yeah. O best of men, if I do not deserve to have you abandon me, then fight to the utmost of your power. Means that, so in that way, he's kind of, you say he's controlling himself, so he's really trying to find words that are appropriate, but you know his attitude is wrong. And so he says, if I've done something wrong, that I should be abandoned, okay, then you don't fight, then that, you know, that follows the Kshatriya code. But if I haven't done something to be abandoned, then why aren't you fighting, you know? Bhishma laughed angrily in return. O prince, have I not told you on so many occasions that the Pandavas are invincible? I will nevertheless do whatever I am capable of doing. Right in the beginning, when they sat and said, okay, how long will it take for us to win this battle? And, you know, Bhishma said, if I do this, you know, in this many days, you know, we can take out the army. And then Drona said it would take me this many, and then Karna this many, and, you know, like this. And so, but it's already been said, he'll kill 10,000 charioteers, you know, in their army a day. You know, because the chariot means along with the foot soldiers and everything, so it's a big amount of people. So, and he's already said, that's what I can do. And he's already made it that you keep saying that they're no match, but maybe in technique, Bhima is better. Maybe. But we saw before when they were fighting, the demigods say they're so equally matched that this fight between the two of them, if no one else was involved, could go on for forever. It would never end. But at the same time, as then you see, is that he knows that Krishna's accepted that size. And he's a devotee. He's a Mahajan. He knows what Krishna wants. That's the way it's going to go. You know, it wasn't that when the universal form and all that was going on, they heard the Bhagavad Gita too. You know, and Bhishma knows these things. So he knows that you can't beat them. It's already, you know, destined like that. You're bad, they're good. Of course they're going to win. They're supporting the Lord's cause. You're not. So he's already pointing out that I could do my best, but it'll never be good enough for Duryodhana. Because Duryodhana's thing is, if I win, that was best. If I don't win, that means everybody else didn't try hard enough. Because I'm so fabulous, everybody should just do work for me and do whatever I want. That's, you know, it's sad, but true. I will nevertheless do whatever I am capable of doing. See now my power in battle. In the sight of all, I will chastise the Pandavas with their troops and kinsmen. Duryodhana clenched his fists and smiled. You know, kind of, yes, you know, you got him. So in other words, you're trying to invoke the anger, but it can also be, you know, it done in a nice way. You know, that you're so powerful and all this, how is this guy? It must be this or that. You know, some nice way, more poetic. But he always goes for, he always pulls this card that you're not fighting because of your sentiment for them. You don't like me, you only like the Pandavas. Well, what about he likes them both? So he's fighting for you and he's also not, you know, doing too much to them. That would be more equal. No, if you're not killing them, you hate me. It's like, you know. Duryodhana clenched his fist and smiled. Right, so this whole thing of, you know, people going, yes, you know, that's, they've always done this stuff. It's just, who's doing it? Right, we don't hear Arjuna or Yudhishthira do it. Duryodhana. He ordered drums and conches to be sounded. As the sun began its descent towards the west, Bhishma advanced towards the Pandavas, flanked by the best of the Kauravas. Seeing the Kauravas returning back to the battle, roaring and beating their drums, the Pandavas cheered and blew their conches in reply. The fight continued. Right, so they weren't a problem, because if the Kshatriyas are willing to fight, you know, for other Kshatriyas, then yes, now it's a glorious time. You know, it's a glorious moment. So then they also cheered, because now the fight will continue. warriors on both sides, because it appears that as it was, the whole army was routed. It, you know, it means from seeing what's here is that not just Arjuna was, means it just went through, because you can only talk about one at a time. So Arjuna was going, he routed the troops. Then we have Yudhishthir and Nakula Sahadev, they're routing the troops in the middle, and Bhima and Ghatotkacha on their side, on the right side. So the whole army is basically, you know, the main charioteer walas are not, but the rest of the warriors are. So then he has to get everybody there, and then now Bhishma is ready to fight. Now he's coming with everybody arrayed, and then the whole thing, and then you say, okay, now we got to fight. The fight continued. Warriors on both sides again fell like ripe ears of corn in a field, right? Because when you're harvesting corn at the end, then they just take the whole thing down like that. You know, at the beginning you can take off one or two, but otherwise if you're doing the whole, you just take the whole thing, so they just fall like that, you know. The brave shouts of thousands of fighters merged together and roared like a giant roaring sea. Cries of stand your ground, strike, turn back, on your guard, and here I am were heard everywhere, and the stench of blood filled the air. The warriors could hardly traverse the battlefield. It was so thick with corpses. Strewn with colored armor, turbans, and ornaments, the field appeared as beautiful as the autumn sky at night. Right, because you have the many, many colors will be there. The means other times, you know, it's very, very bright, but the autumn, like now, sometimes you see in the evening, because you can see the colors of the clouds, you can see the various colors of the red, because in other times it's so bright, the distinction is just a little, really bright and a little bit less, but here you get from the really, like crimson red coming out to the orange, down to the, you know, gets to the bright and then to the white, you know, the whole thing, and the clouds will also do the same thing, so it's meaning like that in the autumn. Though mortally wounded, warriors were seen to rush upon their enemies with pride, right? So even though they've been, let's say, you know, shot with an arrow that they're going to die, but they're still fighting. They're still going out and fighting because they know. Others who lay dying called out to their loved ones, "Oh father, oh brother, oh uncle, do not abandon me." In some places, headless trunks ran about wildly, blood spurting from their severed necks. Yeah, if someone's not expecting it, their head gets cut off, the movements, the body, the nerves and that, they may still do go for a while like that, you know, because it wasn't expected like that. You know, if you think cutting off my head, then usually they just fall. But if it's not expected, your energy is so much somewhere else. Like you see with Shishupal, his head's cut off, but he's still hurling insults at Krishna, just the head, you know, like that. He's still talking, like that. You know. In accordance with his promise to Duryodhana, Bhishma wrought a terrible havoc on the battlefield. His bow was constantly drawn to a circle. Virulent arrows sped in all directions and cut down warriors by the thousands. The blazing shafts never missed their aim. The old Kuru chief trained his weapons on all the principal Pandava heroes, calling them by name as he fired. His chariot made wondrous motion as it careened about. It seemed as if he was everywhere at once, and he left a trail of destruction in his wake. Everyone who saw him considered that he had somehow multiplied himself a thousandfold by the power of illusion. None could look at him. All that they could see was an endless stream of arrows leaving his bow. The Pandavas and their allies gave way to lamentation. Any Kshatriya brave enough to encounter Bhishma was immediately dispatched to death's abode. Whoever came near him was seen at that moment to fall to the ground. With a single long arrow, he pierced three or four men seated on the back of an elephant. Right, so, because you have the main fighter, you have others that are sitting. So, not four arrows pierced the four men, just one went through all four of them. You know, like Bhima would do stuff like that. So Bhishma now is showing that prowess. With another shaft, he slew the elephant itself. Horsemen and infantry were swept away like leaves blown by a gale. The Pandava army trembled and gave way, fleeing in all directions. They were so completely routed that no two persons were seen together, right? So it's not like they're going in groups that they could steward that. No, everybody's going in their own. No, everyone's just thinking of themselves how to get out of there, rather than, hey, let's get out of here as a group. With cries of oh and alas, they scattered in fear. Many men with disheveled hair and clothes were seen running away in terror, throwing aside their weapons and armor. Even the Pandava chiefs were confounded by Bhishma's prowess. Seeing their confusion, Krishna halted Arjuna's chariot and said, "O foremost of men, strike Bhishma alone." He alone is dispersing your army. Take action or everything will be lost. O hero, formerly in the assembly of kings you said, I will kill all the Kaurava warriors headed by Bhishma and Drona. O son of Kunti, chastise your foes. Make good your words. Stand before Bhishma. He appears today like the destroyer himself, with his mouth open wide to consume all beings. Huh?
Now this is the proper.
Right? Yeah. Arjuna looked around at the annihilation. Even though it was his own army being destroyed, he was nevertheless filled with an admiration and joy. Bhishma's power in battle was incomparable. But he had a duty to perform. Bhishma had sided with Duryodhana. Thinking of the Kaurava prince again incited Arjuna's anger. Plunge through this sea of hostile troops, O Keshava, and take my chariot to Bhishma. Today I will throw down that invincible warrior. Krishna at once urged on the silver-white horses, and the brilliant chariot sped, unobstructed, towards Bhishma. Seeing Arjuna coming to face Bhishma, the rest of the Pandava army was heartened and rallied back to the fight. Bhishma saw Arjuna approach, and he roared like a lion. He immediately covered him with countless shafts. In a moment, Arjuna's chariot with its standard and charioteer became invisible beneath a curtain of arrows. Krishna fearlessly and patiently maneuvered the chariot out from under the arrows. As he emerged, Arjuna fired four straight flying shafts from the Gandiva and cut apart Bhishma's bow. Bhishma, angry, took up another bow and strung it in an instant. Without delay, Arjuna cut the new bow to pieces with razor-headed arrows. Bhishma praised him, calling out, O Partha, son of Pandu, well done, well done. I am pleased with you for this wonderful feat. Now fight your hardest with me. Bhishma whirled about in his chariot and appeared with yet another bow. He shot large numbers of shafts at Arjuna, but Krishna, by his expert driving, baffled them all. So he, even here, just the charioteer, how he drives, then he can also take the warrior out from the line of the arrows. So just, they're very, very good. The chariot went around in swift circles with Arjuna moving about to keep his arrows aimed at Bhishma. Both Arjuna and Krishna were wounded, and they both resembled angry bulls scratched by one another's horns. Laughing loudly, Bhishma again covered his foe with arrows on all sides. Even Krishna was astonished by his skill and power, right? Because it's Krishna's skill and power that is empowered in the living entities. And so it's wonderful. And so seeing the volume of it manifest by Bhima, then, you know, even Krishna is impressed. But it's his potency, because it is wonderful. You know, it's just like, let's say, someone who's very, very expert in a field, and they accomplish something, but looking at it, they'll see, wow, that's amazing. But because they're using Krishna's prowess, his vibhutis, and they use them very properly, according to the proper, you know, laws that govern that particular Shakti. And so it will come out something wonderful. That's because Krishna's wonderful, his Shaktis are wonderful, his laws are wonderful, and you put it all together, it will be wonderful. So here then we're seeing even Krishna was appreciating. So we know it's good. Right? Up to this point, others were appreciating, but at this point, Krishna's appreciating. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.